club football, he pisses all over him. So
yeah. It's just Messi. We all know what Messi can do.
A lot of flair, a lot of skill.
People might forget the names, but the street certainly won't.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome back to another episode of the FC Lol podcast. The World Cup is just around the corner now. It's the biggest tournament in the world with the best players going. Except for 10, which we're going to be discussing on today's episode, as I'll be talking through the top 10 players that are not going to Qatar 2022. So there's a mix in here. Some are injured, some didn't get called up, and some, their nations just didn't make the tournament. So there's a real mix, to be honest. I struggled a little bit with this because there's a few massive names that I thought were not going to make their World Cup squad. So you've got the likes of Sadio Mane, Son, Varane, all looked injured and going to miss it for that reason. But yeah, they ended up being included in their squads anyway. There's a few players such as Kyle Walker that at one point looked touch and go, but he's obviously in now. A few others have got injured. So yeah, it's not been easy, but I've managed to come up with quite a good 10, I think. But first, honourable mention. I'm not going to attempt to pronounce his name because I will butcher it, but we'll call him Caradonna, number 77 of Napoli. I think everyone knows this guy now. He's really broken onto the scene this year. It's one I tipped up actually in our Champions League predictions as one to watch, a breakout star, and he's definitely doing that this season in the Champions League and in the Serie A. But I think he probably just needs to show that form a little bit longer to make the list, because a lot of these players are established stars that have made it. So kicking off, number 10, Thiago. Now, this was a real shock that he didn't make the Spanish side. He was one of the best midfielders in the Premier League last season, got voted into the team of the year, was really important to Liverpool in their season where they got to, you know, they were going for the quadruple. Ended up with just the two trophies, of course. But yeah, Thiago was brilliant that season. Hasn't been as good this season as a lot of other Liverpool players, haven't he? The quality, and he's shown flashes of brilliance in certain games. Brilliant passer, amazing first touch as well. And yeah, I'm really shocked actually this Spain squad didn't include him. So he comes in at number 10. And number 9 is a man that is injured. No doubt if he wasn't injured, he would be in the squad and probably in the starting lineup for his country. And that is Paul Nabil Pogba. Now, he's got many haters, many lovers. He's quite a Marmite player. But I think the reason I've included him in at number 9 is for France. He's brilliant. We saw it at the last World Cup. We saw it to an extent at the last Euros as well. I think when he's paired with a certain other player, he's very, very good. And, you know, he's not played a game yet for Juventus since returning to them in the summer. But I think hopefully for his sake, that league will be more suited to his style of play as, you know, he was before he joined Man United. And yeah, he is a top player at the end of the day. He's got the capability of winning the game by himself. France have got a stacked squad. They're probably going to find it difficult to replace someone with that ability. At number 8, I've gone with David Alaba. I don't think David Alaba has ever played at a World Cup, actually, and he may never play at a World Cup in his career, playing for Austria. He's, of course, won a ton of trophies at Bayern Munich and more recently at Real Madrid as well. Very good left back, very good centre back as well. And he often plays in midfield for Austria. A very versatile player. And yeah, he's just got brilliant defensive attributes. He's a leader. He's captained Austria for a while. And even at Real Madrid, he's sort of one of the senior figures in the team already. An important member of that back five So yeah, he's been a top defender for years, one of the best defenders that we've seen over the last decade. But because of the nation that he plays for, Austria, he is by far and away really the best player in that side. They did get to the Euros last year, but it's few and far between that Austria are going to make international tournaments these days. It's not quite the wonder team of the 1930s. So, yeah, David Alaba, a top player. If he played for pretty much any other nation in Europe, I think you'd be seeing him at the World Cup this year. Seven, I've gone with Riyad Mahrez. Now, Mahrez, you probably haven't seen the best of, certainly this season. And in the last couple of seasons at City, when he plays, he's fantastic, scores goals, has all the tricks. And, you know, he's one of the best dribblers in the league as well, as well as being a good free kick taker. But he hasn't been given that same free role that he has at Leicester. But nonetheless, when he's on it, he's one of the most difficult wingers in the league to mark. And he's one of the best wingers in the world on his day. He's also a fantastic player for his country. Algeria led them to the African Nations Cup title a few years back and was one of the best players in that tournament. And he has played at World Cups before, but this time Algeria didn't qualify from the qualifying group in Africa. So Mahrez misses out. I think we probably will see him at a World Cup again. I think Algeria are one of the strongest teams in Africa, so he'll be back. He'll be a bit older than maybe past his prime, but at this current point, there's not many wingers I'd pick over him. At number six is one winger I would pick over Mahrez, though, and that is Luis Diaz. He joined Liverpool in January and he's just hit the ground running. Electric player, really exciting, and he's got end product as well. I think replacing Sadio Mane is a very, very difficult job. But Luis Diaz was doing his best. He worked well with Mane as well for that half season that they were together. And yeah, he's proven to be a bargain. The 30 odd million or so that Liverpool paid Porto for Luis Diaz, now he looks like a 60, 70 million pound player. And this is actually a shock, really, that Colombia didn't make the World Cup. South America, they've got a strong qualifying group. There's a good 8 or 9 teams in there that on their day could qualify for sure. But I'd normally have Colombia in the top 4 or 5 nations. But they just didn't get it together over the last qualifying tournament and finished 6th and just missed out. But Diaz has still got time on his side. He's in his mid-20s, so he's in his prime. And I'm sure, as well as seeing him ripping it up in the Champions League and in the Premier League, he'll be ripping it up on the international stage in the near future too. Another French midfielder. Another midfielder that is injured. And it is Paul Pogba's partner in crime, N'Golo Kante. Now, Kante's been injured a lot over these last couple of years. They're starting to catch up on him. I guess when you run enough to be acting like two players, as it's often said with Kante, feels like they're playing against 12 players. Maybe that sort of play style is not sustainable long term and you do get more injuries. But look, Kante, when he does play, he's fantastic. We've seen it in the last year or so. For me, he had a great shout at being the Ballon d'Or winner last year. Chelsea really miss him when he doesn't play, as we're seeing this season with Chelsea's poor dip in form. And yet, as soon as Kante goes back in the team against any side in the league, really, he can put in a masterclass of a performance. And I think France are going to miss that. They have got a fairly similar profile of player to Kante, but with Kante's experience as well, you know, at the World Cup win and the getting to the Euros final, he's going to be a big miss in that dressing room for France. And yeah, even with the injuries, still a magnificent player. And for me, probably still the best in his position in the world. At number four, arguably the best in his position in the world as well, and that is Andy Robertson. That he'll probably come up on this sort of list time and time again because he plays for Scotland. Did manage to make the Euros last year, but that was Scotland's first qualification to a major trophy in over 20 years. And even with Scotland showing a bit of promise with their talent, it's still looking like a tough task to see Andy Robertson at a World Cup. But, you know, if he was English, if he was Brazilian, if he was French, he'd be starting. One of the first names on the team sheet in all those sides. It's just a shame for him where he was born and where he plays for, that he probably isn't going to see the same success on the international stage that he has been having for Liverpool over these last few years. He hasn't been at his best, as a lot of Liverpool players have been this year, but in the last couple of games, he's picked it up a little bit and he's probably just hitting the right run of form now. So I'm sure we'll see a very strong Andy Robertson in the second half of the season, especially with sort of a month's rest when a lot of these Premier League players are going to Qatar. Another Premier League fullback. For me, I think he's the best fullback in the Premier League at the moment, and that is Reece James. He was touch and go whether he was going to make the World Cup squad or not. And it's a real shame because I think he just brought his way into contention for starting for Gareth Southgate. It had taken a while for him to get into that squad and get some caps, but I think he's probably seen as the most natural right wing back now. And yeah, he was starting to get a bit more love from Gareth Southgate in the last year or so, but that injury just meant that it wasn't really worth taking him because realistically, he's not going to come back in time for the tournament. It's a real shame because he was playing fantastic. This whole year, when he's been on the pitch, Reece James has been far and away Chelsea's best player and, yeah, just brilliant to watch. But unfortunately, he's missed out. But, yeah, he's one of the youngest players on this list at 22 years old. And with England and their record of qualifying for tournaments, he's going to have another four or five tournaments at least to have a go at. Top two, I think the jump up in quality is absolutely huge here. You're talking about potentially, people could argue, the two best players in the world, or certainly two of the top five. So we'll start at number two. I've gone with Mohamed Salah. Many people were giving him Ballon d'Or shouts until Benzema started really performing in the Champions League knockouts. And if it had gone a bit differently in Paris in the Champions League final, then possibly Salah would have his hands on that Ballon d'Or. I'm going to say it again, another Liverpool player that hasn't been at their best this season, but you know, he's still scored goals in big games, scored the winner against City, scored two goals against Tottenham as well. And even by his very high standards, that he's underperforming. If you look at him compared to most players, he's still having a great season. He still looks sharp and on it. He's just not necessarily converting so many chances, but they'll come. He'll still end up as one of the top goal scorers in the league, I've got no doubt. But Egypt, his country, they didn't make the tournament. It's a strange one, Egypt. They always seem to do well at the African Cup of Nations. For example, in this one, they got to the final. I think they won two or three in a row about 10, 15 years ago. And in that period, they never qualified for the World Cup. They qualified in 2018, but that was the first one in quite a while. And it's a real strange one, really, how they do so well on their own continent. But when it comes to World Cup qualifying, they just miss out quite a lot. And yeah, it's unfortunate because Salah probably was in his prime in 2018. That would have been his best chance at the World Cup, but Egypt didn't really turn up, and it is probably now too late for him, you do feel. But yeah, I'm sure Jurgen Klopp will be very happy that Salah gets 30 days or so rest and will come back absolutely firing in that second half of the season. And at number one, the man that just cannot stop scoring at the moment, Erling Haaland. What can we say about Erling Haaland? Generational talent, goal scoring machine, freak. It's just absolutely ridiculous. He's come to the Premier League from the Bundesliga. Don't worry about Bundesliga tax. I mean, this guy is getting PlayStation numbers. He's got more than a goal a game at City. And he's on course for about 40 goals this season. It's ridiculous. That missing piece, the Pep Guardiola's Manchester City side. They've wanted that number nine that just knows how to put the ball in the net. And they've got it with Erling Haaland. But despite his brilliance and despite his good goal scoring record for his country as well, which is also almost a goal a game, Norway didn't qualify. They've got him, they've got Martin Odegaard, they've not got many other prominent names, and they did miss out on qualifying at the World Cup. They've not been in the World Cup for 24 years, but I think with Haaland and Odegaard, two fairly young players, at the peak of their powers, we could see them at the World Cup in 2026. The world will have to wait until that beast, Erling Haaland, is unleashed on them. So that rounds off the 10. Thank you for listening, and keep your eyes peeled for our next episode, episode 200. We've got something special in store. That's all I'll say for now. And of course, remember to keep it.